Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as decision time for United seems to be pending on who we're going to go for in the midfield. We've got big updates around Alex Scott. Also, some more around Tchouaméni and Santos from Romano. A few other bits as well. But let's dive straight into it because it's hot again this morning. And, we don't want to dwell on that. We want to get into this and we'd like to have some hot Manchester United news as well. Minte is good. No, that's just for a minute there. I thought somebody in the chat had an exclusive. It's just J1 talking about how he'd like Minte at Manchester United. Yeah, dream on. It's Brighton, mate. It's never going to happen. Okay, let's delve into the show straight away then. So the big story this morning really is in relation to Alex Scott. Is this the player that Manchester United are now homing in on? So Ben Jacobs is saying, keep an eye on Alex Scott and Manchester United. There's also a report coming in from Spain saying that Man United have offered Tchouaméni a lucrative 5-year deal. And Fabrizio Romano has given a Santos update as well. But we'll start off with Scott. This is what Ben Jacobs says. The Bournemouth midfielder is understood to be very high on United's shortlist and the club have already made an initial approach. Bournemouth's stance remains that Scott is not for sale, with plans to offer him a new contract that would include a release clause for next summer. Despite that, clubs still believe a deal could be possible this summer. Man City, Arsenal, United interested. Bournemouth currently value Scott at around £80 million. Roots says it's a good deal. Look, I think that in relation to United right now, it's very hard to know what to believe. I'm sort of the stance that if this transfer window goes the way I think it's going to go, and remember what we were talking about at the end of last night's show. If the transfer window is currently a 1 out of 10, because we like to rank the transfer window, if this transfer window is currently a 1 out of 10, how the bloody hell are we going to get it from 1 out of 10 to even an average 6 out of 10 in, from the 8th of July to the end of August? I think it's impossible. So I don't even know if United can even produce a decent transfer window anymore. What I would say is, let's sit back and wait and see what they're going to do. However, if next season goes down the toilet because the midfield is shit, I hope that Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim Radcliffe are going to sit and do an interview in front of the fans and say we're fucking useless. You know, put our hands up and say we're off. We're off, lads. We're absolutely shit. Because I've seen this before. I don't know why some of our fans are just so, relaxed about it. I've seen this before. Man United finished second with Jose Mourinho. He wanted to go for it again and they produced an absolute dog shit summer transfer window and he was sacked by Christmas. He was. And look, if you want to get a little bit nuanced, how's about this? Yes, Michael Carrick did very well from January to the end of the summer, to the end of the season, relying on park the bus tactics and counter-attacking and Bruno-centric football with one game a week. Mourinho, Amrim struggled, but he didn't get a midfielder. What if we'd bought a midfielder last summer? Maybe when we're trying to defend Leeds in the last 20 minutes, and we've got Bruno and Casemiro with no legs and no positional sense. Maybe if we'd bought a midfielder last summer, it might have worked out for Amrim as well. Ollie as well. Maybe if we hadn't bought Van der Beek and bought him the player he wanted, maybe that would have worked out. Ten Hag, maybe if they got him the players, maybe it would work. There's a recurring theme at this football club where we always end up saying, Ten Hag out, Amrim out, Jose out, Ollie out. And when you go back to it, the source of the problem is always the summer before. Always the summer before. So when this ends up with Carrick out, he's fucking useless, which he may well be, remember this summer transfer window, because this will be the cause. Like it was for Jose, like it was for Ollie, like it was for Ten Hag, this summer transfer window is going down the toilet and people will forget. So what I want when this goes wrong, which it may well do, I want Wilcox and Berarda to front up and say, yes, we got this wrong. But it'll get buried like a shit. It'll get buried like a cat shit. I guarantee you, always does, because the media will push against Carrick and they'll go hiding in the caves again. That's my stance at the moment, because I'm not impressed with this summer transfer window and I'm not impressed with the stories coming out this morning either. But look, maybe I'm moving away from a news show there. Anyway, Michael Thompson says, stop whinging, just give the news. It's a fair point. Okay, let me carry on. So in relation to Alex Scott, what do we think about this then? Man United, keep an eye on Alex Scott for Manchester United, the midfielder. is very high on the list. Bournemouth don't want to sell, but Arsenal, Man City, United feel that there is a deal that can be done for around £80 million. I feel with Alex Scott, I mean, we'll talk about Tchouaméni and Santos and somebody else in a moment. I feel with Alex Scott, it's the best deal we can do. Now, and that might be, you know, revolutionary to some, but I think that this is the best deal we can do. Now, it might be quite scary to some, but what I mean is, I think that from what I know and from what we're seeing, we can't get a better midfielder than him. And as, look, as Polish says, Spurs, who are a joke, have run circles around us this summer. Yeah. Yeah. I think some people in our fan base are in denial, in the sense that I think they still think we can produce the marquee number one, you know, the exciting number two and the Edison number three. I think that there are some people out there that think we can still do it, to which I would say to those people, who are these players? You know, take a deep breath, survey the market, give us three signings that make us happy. I don't think they're there. I already think it's over in that sense. I think it's about what you can do to salvage a situation. Because Tonali's gone, Mateus Fernandez is gone, Anderson is gone, Bruno Guimaraes we won't even look at, and Mitra we can't afford, and Tchouaméni, well, we'll talk about him in a minute, but he's not an option either. So we can't... For me, Alex Scott's the best we can get, and I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying he's the answer at all. I mean, apparently he follows Man City on Instagram, you know? But I'm not saying he is the answer. And he may not be gettable, but if we're being real, he's the best option left because the shelves are emptying and United have, you know, refused to pay. So for all those people that, I mean, and we should run a poll on this as well. Would you be happy with Scott as our main signing? There we go. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's it. I think that's our best chance of a big signing, and that will be our marquee signing. I like Alex Scott. The only thing I would say is I feel that my liking of Alex Scott is a bit nuanced. I don't think he's an obviously brilliant signing. I just like what I've seen in the last few months of the season in the way he plays for Bournemouth. I mean, this is not a guy that's, you know, playing for France in the midfield and Real Madrid. This is not a guy that's playing for England and had an amazing season at Forest. This is not a guy that's, you know, got people paying £85 million for him from West Ham. And this is not a, you know, a midfielder that's, you know, Premier League and Champions League proven in a Newcastle midfield like Tonali and Bruno G. This is a guy that did well in an unbeaten Bournemouth side for the last few months of the season. So, and look, as King Walker says, I just don't think Scott and Mainoo is it. I think you'd have to be very patient. I think you'd have to be very, very patient. And that reminds me of an article I want to talk about in a few minutes, which I think is brilliant. So look, I like Scott, but I feel it's nuanced. I feel it's a bit niche. I don't feel like it's a, oh, he's an amazing player. I think there's a really good player there, but I don't think he's a marquee signing. And I do think it could be an absolute disaster. There's no guarantee it works. And I certainly don't think he, you know, that's the plan at the start of the summer. And I think he's about £30 million overpriced as well. But that's the market. I'm not going to moan about that. So, look, I like the player. I think it's the best we probably can get. And that's not his fault. It's not our fault. That's Berarda and co. They've messed this summer transfer window up. So look, where I am is I hope we can get him. I hope we can get him because I don't see anything else. I mean, where would I go instead of Scott? Seriously, real. We're being real, yeah? Where would I go instead of Scott? Well, we're not getting Tchouaméni, so I'm not going to give you fantasy. So I can't put that forward. I'd go Bruno Guimaraes, but I don't think we can do that anymore. You could pay the same for Adam Wharton. You could pay the same for Nmecha, which I think probably would be quite a wise. I'd probably go Nmecha, actually. I know there's a bit of a risk there, but I think he would be very good and he's experienced and he's Champions League proven. I think Nmecha might be the niche choice in a sense, but I don't think we'll do that. Look, we're scraping the barrel. They're not bad players, but they're not obviously marquee signings either. So, look, interesting. I suppose the other interesting thing I would say as well about Scott is that, you know, Ben Jacobs is not a Man United journalist. Ben Jacobs is very good around Chelsea. Ben Jacobs has got good connections around Brighton and Bournemouth and Brentford. I mean, ultimately, I know how the transfer window works. I would presume Alex Scott is open to staying at Bournemouth and open to leaving. And I would presume that if you are Alex Scott's agent, and I don't know who it is, you're quite comfortable with this story developing because one way or another, you're going to get a good payout, whether it's going to be a new contract with Bournemouth and a release clause or a move. So I think that there might be a bit of mischievousness going on in the sense that I very much doubt this is Bournemouth on their hands and knees begging Man United not to bid and Man United being in a strong position to just go, we've got him. I would imagine if Alex Scott says he wants to go, that's where Bournemouth abandon the new contract and basically say, right, if you want to go, let the talks begin. And they open the door to Arsenal and Liverpool and Man City and everybody comes in. So I think that's how I think this will play out. I certainly don't think it would be a quick deal for United. But look, we've got to do something. And as much as I agree with people being fed up, and I completely agree with you. And remember, I was the guy a month ago who was saying I'm optimistic about this transfer window. And don't ask me that question now. But I understand the frustration, but we have got to do something. I don't agree with people who are saying we won't do something. We will do something. It's about what we do. And what would you rank a window of Scott, Santos and Ederson out of 10? And I'm not saying that's going to be it, but imagine if it was Alex Scott, Santos and Ederson with Mainoo. That's your midfield four. What would you rank that out of 10? Because I tell you what, it's nowhere near the level it needs to be, but I probably would take it now. Because it could be a lot worse. I don't think that's easy. I don't think that's easy. If you think about it, Scott, 80 million with competition from big clubs. Santos, well, Chelsea want at least 50. And Ederson, obviously, always already here. I don't think that, you know, you might be looking at the end of August going, I tell you what, I'd have bloody loved Scott, Santos and Ederson because it might be a lot worse come the end of August. So be careful what you wish for. I'm not saying it's good enough. It's not, but it might be the best we can get. I'd give it a 5. A 5. I think a 5 is fair. 6 is average. 5, that would be below average for me. At the start of the window, I'd probably give it a 4. At the end of the window, I might give it an 8. Because, well, I'll never give it an 8. But that to me, I think it's worth bearing in mind now. I think, you know, somebody just said, how do you feel about the window? Unfortunately, I think the way I feel about the window is there's not a lot of point in being screaming and shouting and everything like that. It never really does serve a purpose, does it? I think that what we've got to do is, unfortunately, swallow the reality that the club doesn't have our best interests at heart. It's not ambitious. It's been absolutely bantered by Tottenham, if we're being honest. And we've got to get out of this window with something. So that's how I feel at the moment. I'm sort of like, when you actually take that deep breath and you assess this window, you realise there is no happy ending. It's about getting what you can because we can't end up short. So we've got to walk out of this summer transfer window with two midfielders, a left back and an attacker. We have to. So it's what we can do and the quality might not be great. I mean, look, it seems to me like we're trying to glaze Somerville like he's the next bloody, you know, like he's the Dutch Messi or something like that. But look, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I don't think the Scott deal's easy, but it does seem to me like it's sort of being pushed that that's the deal we're going to do. And let me talk to you about Tchouaméni because I want to get into some of your comments, but there's a lot to get into this morning. Big things, there's a topic I want to bring in as well, and we will get time at the end of the show. I read a really good piece and I'm going to shout out Dylan who wrote it with Attacking Football. And it was about how, and I think he may have phrased it that it's our fault a little bit. But is it even possible for a transfer that's not necessarily universally agreed with to be successful at United. Are players already finished at United now? If we sign Santos, most of the fan base don't want him. Ederson, half the fan base don't want him. Is the environment at Man United now so toxic that it's virtually impossible for a signing to come in and do well anyway? And whose fault is that? I want to phrase that, because we're going to talk about Santos in a moment, but we're going to talk about Tchouaméni next. Also, if you are watching live or you're not watching live, I'd love to know your comments about what you realistically, deep breath time, think we can achieve now. Because my stance is this World Cup is starting to come to the close now. Can't hide behind the 1 a.m. game saying we're tired, I can't think of United. The reality is starting to bite. I don't think there's a lot left in the market. I don't think there's enough left in the market for United to have a good summer transfer window. I think it's about getting what we can and hoping that it works. So let me know what you think is achievable. Let me talk to you about Tchouaméni, because a couple of stories coming in about him. J. Felix Diaz, who some people want to say is credible, is basically saying that Man United have put a 5-year deal on the table for Tchouaméni, and it's considered a very good offer. However, also from Madrid, Ramon Alvarez has come out and said that Tchouaméni is part of Real Madrid's midfield plans for next season, with Valverde, Guler, Silva and Bellingham. The only midfielder who could leave if the right offer arrives is Camavinga, and that would only happen if he changes his stance on staying at Manchester United. So, contrasting reports coming out about that. Look, I'll be very, very consistent about this. Everything I'm hearing is that Tchouaméni is staying at Real Madrid. Even Andy Mitten yesterday on his podcast said exactly what we said the week before and 2 weeks ago and 2 months ago. If Real Madrid say to Tchouaméni, you're up for sale, we don't want you here anymore, he would be open to joining Man United. That's it. That's the only thing we have, right? And if Real Madrid did say that, it would be because they would want at least £80 million and Tchouaméni would want at least 250 grand a week. So, you know, that puts two huge barriers in place. One, Real Madrid are not willing to sell him. And two, if they did, we wouldn't be able to afford it anyway. So why this is circulating around the fan base, I don't know. I just genuinely don't know. I keep seeing clips, I keep seeing articles, and I know Man United generates interest. And I know the bloody, I don't even know what to call them anymore. The facilitators, you know, the people that facilitate the Glazers and Ineos by, you know, keeping them in power, by constantly giving them a chance. A lot of these people are doing this about Tchouaméni, right? But I've seen this so many times. I've seen it so many times. Who remembers that summer where things were looking good? I think it was the summer that we bought Yoro. And we were in for Ugarte. And it was around this time. It was early July. And we were buying Yoro. And we were talking with Ugarte. And then it came out from maybe Romano about Simmons. And we were riding the fucking wave. You know, we're like Keanu Reeves in Point Break. We're living the bloody dream. We're high-fiving Patrick Swayze. We're going bloody, you know, skydiving. We're loving it, right? And it came and went like it never happened. Ugarte did happen, but right at the end of the window. Yoro did happen, but Xavi Simons never happened. But it was there for about a week. We were doing videos on it. Romano was talking about it. Johnny Utah FC, if you know, great film. Good summer film, actually. If you want a good summer film to watch tonight when there's no World Cup football, watch Point Break. I'm envious. Brilliant, brilliant summer film. I might watch it with you. But the point is, this happens every year with Manchester United. We have legit stories, and then there's an icing on the cake story to make you go, ooh, yeah. I genuinely think Tchouaméni is this summer's Xabi Simons. It's thrown in there to almost as a placebo to make you feel positive about something that's not going to happen. You know? I think that's what it is. And if you don't know what a placebo is, it's It's like going to the bar with your mates, right, and getting a round of drinks in, and you get one mate a non-alcoholic beer, and he drinks it, and he's like, oh, I feel pissed, but there's no alcohol in it. It's psychological. In fact, I'll tell you a very true story. Some of you might remember this. I went on a lad's holiday to Magaluf when I was 18, and you didn't used to go out till about midnight because that's when all the, you know, that's when everyone went out, and I couldn't deal with this. So you meant to, you go on the beach, you have something to eat, you go back to your hotel room and you have a few hours sleep, and I could never do it. So I'd sit on the balcony, right, read a book, whatever. And I went down to the local supermarket, and every club you went into, they give you free drinks. They had this peach schnapps, which I'd never had before. You know, I was an 18-year-old lad from Nottinghamshire, and may as well have been from the Shire. So I was like a hobbit trying new things, and although I was 6 foot. Anyway, I get this bottle of peach schnapps, and I get back to the balcony, and I'm sat there reading my book, pouring myself peach schnapps. Anyway, we go out at midnight, and I'm like to the lads, I'm like, I'm absolutely fucking hammered, I am. I'm absolutely wasted. And then one of the lads goes, no, you're not. I said, I am. I've had half a bottle of peach schnapps. And he goes, you're not wasted. You're not wasted at all. I said, I am. I've had half a bottle. I've had half a bottle. He said, he's not wasted at all. Because you know what? What did you do with the little bottle on the side of the peach schnapps? I said, oh, I threw it away. I didn't want it. I thought it was a taste of the cherry schnapps or something like that. He says, that was the alcohol. You're meant to pour the alcohol in and mix the bottle up. You've took the little bottle of alcohol thinking it's a tester and just started drinking non-alcoholic peach schnapps. Well, I sobered up in seconds. But I had half a bottle of non-alcoholic peach schnapps and I thought I was pissed. I thought I was wasted. I wasn't. And that's what I mean about a placebo. It's something you think is happening but isn't happening. So I think that this is what United do all the time. We get that peach schnapps, non-alcoholic. We get that Xabi Simons. We get that story every summer about a player that we think's going to happen that kills 2 or 3 weeks and we've got no chance of it happening. Tchouaméni is that placebo. It's not fucking happening. And it keeps circulating and it's not happening. We can't afford it and Real Madrid don't want to sell him. But you will see today people talking about it, making content, writing articles. It ain't happening. And I couldn't goad the club anymore about this. I want them to go, right, you can shove your peach snaps right up your ass. Jason, wake up, Jason, wake up, Jason. Get to Madrid. What do you mean your passport's run out? You're a director of football. Get to the passport office. Get to Madrid. Get Tchouaméni. I don't care how much it costs. Oh, you know, but Jim, you don't like spending money. Well, I tell you what, I do like spending money when you've got Manchester's maddest man on the scene. So get to bloody Madrid and we're going to shove that peach schnapps right up his arse. I will love it. I will love that. I will goad the club openly and say, you're bullshit. You're a load of bullshitters. You're not in for Tchouaméni. When we were linked to Romero, you came out publicly and leaked to all your journalists within 9 hours that we weren't in for Romero. You could leak today that we're not in for Tchouaméni and you won't do it because it's a placebo story. You like these stories. I bet United are sat there with a big Cheshire cat grin on their face like the bloody Joker when they see that Felix guy saying that we're going to make a big offer for Tchouaméni. I bet they're sat there going, huh. Don't know where that's come from because we're not going to do it, but they'll love it. You've got to play the game. I've played the game. You've played the game. You know I'm right, right? They'll wake up in the morning and they'll go, send a casket of, not a casket, you can tell I'm not posh. What's a collection of bottles of champagne? Like, get that Felix, Sean Dyche, a load of champers because he's helped us out there. United could come out right now and say, we're not signing Tchouaméni. It's not going to happen. They could get on the blower to Ornstein and say, not going to happen. But they won't do it because it's the placebo effect. It helps them. A case of champagne. That's what, there we go. Magnum of champagne, says Garfield. He's bloody loaded. A magnum of champagne from Garfield. He knows the lingo. He's played the game. So yeah, I think that United could kill this Tchouaméni story really easily. And we keep waking up every morning, with stories about offers, huge offers, this, that, and the other. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. I think it's contract negotiations from Tchouaméni and his agent. I've played the game. If I'm the agent of Tchouaméni and I want a good wage and I want a long contract at Madrid, Man United are ready to make a bid. Oh, mic drop. Mark, how do you come up with this genius? Well, why haven't you come up with this genius? We want a new contract at Madrid. They're willing to negotiate. Oh, Man United are about to make a massive offer. A massive offer from Man United. Why are all the sources Spanish? Why is it not David Ornstein saying that Man United are about to make a massive offer for Tchouaméni? Why is it not Romano? Yeah, why is it not Ben Jacobs? Why is it not the Manchester Evening News? Because it's the Spanish journalists. Because I want a new contract at Madrid. Man United are about to make a massive offer. We ain't in this game. And I tell you what, if by some miracle we've wound United up this morning and they go, right, Jason, get over there, well, that's a win. I will love it if we go and sign him, but I'm telling you now, it's complete and utter bollocks. Sorry, my camera's just overheating here and I do not want us to crash out. Tchouaméni's not a possibility at all. Let's talk about Santos next. There is a story coming in relation to him, and it's from Fabrizio. So Fabrizio Romano is basically saying this about Santos. I feel like I'm on it this morning. Good stuff. Manchester United have spoken positively with Santos' agent multiple times since February. You know what? I just had this thought then. Manchester United think they've spoken positively with Andre Santos' agent multiple times since February. However, they've just discovered this is not the agent of Andre Santos and it's a fraudster. Didn't that actually happen to United? I mean, that again, if I was a journalist, I'd go and really delve into this. Didn't we fly to Spain and have conversations with people we thought that were Ander Herrera's agent a few years ago? Would not surprise me. Anyway, truth talks. Manchester United have spoken positively with Andre Santos' agent multiple times since February. Chelsea are not desperate to let him go, but would be open to big proposals. So effectively, the situation with Andre Santos is that Man United are interested. He's on the list somewhere in relation to the data. But Chelsea are sort of like, don't really want to sell him. You know, he's a useful player to have around as a squad player. But if you give us beyond what we think he's worth, we will take a look and then we can use that money to get somebody better. That's basically the stance of Chelsea. If we had somebody like this at Man United, I could use it as a comparison. I'm struggling to think of who it could be. I can't think of anyone in our squad that sort of matches up to this situation. I mean, he's not as bad as Ugarte, but he's not as good as Ahmad. Maybe Dalot. You know, maybe Dalot. Maybe someone like Dalot. So if Man United don't want to sell Dalot, he's a useful player to have around. However, if somebody came in and gave us 50 million for him, we would sell him because we can get someone better. I think that's the best example of Chelsea's stance and what's going on. I think if, you know, you look at someone like Dalot, I think he's in a similar situation to Santos. You know, sometimes he starts, sometimes people think he's not good enough to start. I think if somebody came in and said, we want to buy Dalot for 40 million or 30 million, United would say, no, he's not for sale. I think if someone came in and said, there's 50 million quid, we'd go, you know what? We can get a better right back with 50 million quid. Let's do the deal. So I think that's pretty much the situation with Chelsea. But ultimately, you end up having to overpay, don't you? And it's the, you know, I don't think Santos is worth 50 million quid. I don't think he's really worth 40. I think for a player like that, who's not broken into Chelsea's team and is 100% just potential, I think 35 plus add-ons is the absolute limit I would go to there, in my opinion. Patrick Lynch says, whatever we get done now has an impact on the whole season. We don't do anything in January, so transfers now will be the squad for the season. Sad part is once the football starts, that's forgotten and it's all on Carrick. But you know what, Patrick? Thanks very much for your super chat. I'm out of ideas here. I don't know what we can do, because you know as well as I do, collectively, we've had this conversation for years. I remember saying it about Ollie. I remember saying it about Mourinho. I remember saying it about Ten Hag. Every summer, when it goes wrong, there's that statement of, we can't be here at Christmas chanting for another manager to get sacked. We have to remember who's caused it. And every Christmas, everyone forgets, and it's always about the manager. I don't know what we do, Patrick. I don't know what we do to stop the pile-on of Carrick at Christmas if it's going wrong, and blame the people who should be blamed. I really, you know, I'm out of ideas, because you know it's going to happen, and they can always hide behind they caused the problems. And, you know, I absolutely do think that, in essence, it's... I mean, technically, it's just throwing a manager, it's another manager under the bus. Technically, that's what it is. I didn't want to put it like that, but I suppose that's what it is. And if by Christmas or the end of the season, we're not in Europe or things are going really, really badly, then ultimately, how do these prats stay in a job? I didn't want Carrick to get the job. I don't think a lot of you did. Who said give him the job? Jason Wilcox. Who's in charge of transfers? Jason Wilcox. Who's his boss? Omar Berada. Who's in charge of the football side of things? Sir Jim Ratcliffe. There's a whole trail of stuff I didn't want to happen. I didn't want Ineos. I didn't want Carrick. And I didn't want this summer transfer window. So if this all goes to shit, will Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Omar Berada and Jason Wilcox front up to the fans and say, we're responsible, we're going? You know, will they front up to the fans and say, we fucked the transfer window, we fucked the club, and we fucked Michael Carrick's career? You know, no, they won't. It'll be the same cycle again. It'll be, oh, we've got someone else exciting coming in now. Ollie's at the wheel, you know, and the cycle continues. I don't know how you break the cycle. The cycle of Man United is, we're just basically vibing it. We're hoping to get lucky again, like we did with Carrick, where you bring in a cheap interim and he gets us in the Champions League, and credit to him for that. We lucked out in January. We got lucky from January to summer that we landed on a coaching team that got us playing a style of football that got us into the Champions League. It was lucky. From a club perspective, fair play to Carrick, but we lucked out, right? What you never do in life is this. Here's my life savings. What are you going to bet it on? Black or red on the bloody poker table, yeah? Everything on black, right? It comes in. Oh, my God. I can't believe my luck. That's just saved my life. That's saved my life. Oh, my God. Right, we're going to take this money and we're going to use it to make sure this never happens again. No, we're not. We're going to bet it all again. How many times are you going to... You know what I mean? I think we got lucky in January. If that had gone wrong, where are we now? We got lucky in January. We have this massive opportunity in the summer where it's really like, let's make sure that never happens again. Let's use this money and make sure it never happens again. What are we doing? We're betting it all again on luck. I don't see the strategy for this season at all. It just looks like, let's hope Bruno breaks the record again. Let's hope Harry Maguire scores a few headers from corners again. Let's hope Casemiro does it. Oh, shit, forgot about him. He's gone. Don't worry about it. We'll just put someone tall in the midfield. Mason Mount. Mason Mount is an attacking midfielder. Put him in the midfield, he'll score the same goals in the midfield. To me, we are walking into a season where we're trying to get lucky. And your luck will run out in football at some point. Maybe we do get lucky this season. Maybe we do finish third again. But if the strategy next season... The problem is, this happens every summer. So even if we look out again and we get into third again, next summer will be the same. The strategy just seems to get worse. It's not like this is an isolated summer, is it? It's not like this is a summer where we're going, you know what, I'd give this summer a 4 out of 10. Oh, what? Like last year and the year before that and the year before that. And as Patrick says, we won't spend in January either. Like, realistically, all our effort should be going into how do we stop this from happening. But until that saviour comes along with a few billion and says to the fans, let's get these idiots out. I need your support. This is how we're going to do it. Let's get them out. Until we get that, nothing changes, you know? Scott did follow City, but does follow you, Mark. No, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't follow me. I know that for free. If he did follow me, he'd be a legend, but he doesn't. Let's have a look who he does follow. Alex Scott. He follows Nico. He's a Man United fan. He follows a Spurs fan, I know. He follows Anthony Gordon. Follows Theo Baker. Joe Tomlinson. He's a Man United fan. Ian Wright. Rashford, Elliot Anderson, Lewis Hall, Danny Ahrens. Danny's all right. Mainu, Bruno. He's hard to tell on his follows because Taze, also from the Bov Boys, he's a City fan. Adam Wharton. Liam Delap. Oh, God. Don't sign him then. He follows Liam Delap. That's it. I'm out. He follows Liam Delap. Don't go anywhere near him. I don't know how you can see whether he follows Man City. I don't know. I like him. He's a good player. Don't worry, he won't follow me either, says Robert McCormack. Scott did follow it. I've done that one from Chris. Glynneos will never take responsibility for this horrible window. They will sack Carrick and say, here we go again, says Chris. This mess will be all on Amazon for us to see, says John. I mean, I think that, look, you're about to... He unfollowed City yesterday, says Rez. You can't... The thing is... Being serious, you can't take anything from Instagram. People like stuff. People follow things. You can't take anything like that. And I think he's a Tottenham fan anyway. But thankfully, he won't be going to Tottenham because they've already bought their midfielders. But you know what John O'Neill said there about Amazon? I think a lot of us thought that the Amazon thing might actually spark United into life, didn't we? You know, that was probably quite naive of us, to be honest. There is a load of PR spin. I just want to warn you, like, there's a load of PR spin coming out tomorrow morning. There's a big reveal meeting, consultation tomorrow morning. I say spin. It will end up being spin. I'm not saying, to be fair to the club, it's not really spin. It's been planned for weeks. There's a load of stuff coming out tomorrow morning around the stadium project. So you know what happens then. Some of our fans get really excited. You know, we had a protest, didn't we, over a year ago? And then 48 hours later, they put ChatGPT pictures out about the stadium and everyone forgot about the protest. So there's a load of new stadium stuff coming out tomorrow morning, which is going to, you know, I would say is tactically very well timed. You know, as I said, if you strategically analyse Man United's transfer activity over the last decade, The period of time where we sign players the most consistently is between the 4th of July and the 12th of July. Smack in the middle of the 4th of July and the 12th of July is the 9th of July. And we are releasing a load of stuff on the new stadium. Is that a coincidence? Is that a distraction? I think it's quite a convenient time to release a load of stuff about a stadium at a time where you should be buying players. But tomorrow morning... I guarantee we'll be talking on the 10 o'clock show about the stadium because there's a load of stuff coming out tomorrow morning. Peter Sukic from Inter Milan, all-round midfielder, says Marco. I can't wait for the away and third kit releases, says Mike. I mean, even the kits don't have a lot of hype this year, do they? The new kit sort of came out. We wore it for Brighton. Normally, we'd have a load of leaks about the away kits and stuff like that. I just don't think there's a lot of excitement. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but United just seemed to me to have. It's almost like Christmas when you find out about Santa, isn't it? It didn't say either way. You know, it's the first one after. It doesn't feel the same around United, considering we've qualified for the Champions League. I think this has got to be one of the most mediocre summers we've had. And I know we've had the World Cup and that can make a difference, but I remember when we had the World Cup or the Euros when we bought Pogba, and I was buzzing my tits off about United. I don't think the World Cup's an excuse. I think Carrick was a little bit meh of an appointment, and I think the transfer window has been one kick in the nuts after another. I think it's really flat around United at the moment. I really do. Man United are kings of we're not going to, not we did, says Anthony. Knowing the club, they will do a PR spin for Edison to divert away attention. Well, Razzly, you're not even wrong. There will be the usual tactic of, you know, Edison was here we go 6 weeks ago, but we'll have to go through Edison signs for United for another week at some point. Whenever they announce that, that's going to be an interview and a shirt and everything. So, yeah, that's going to take up a bit of time when that happens as well. Just one big joke, says Garfield. Thank you, sir. Why not get Scott and Stiller? For me, that's maybe a 6.5 with Edison as well, says Jared. Well, somebody did say in the chat, Jared, what would make you, from this point, in a realistic market, give United higher than a 6? Realistic from this point, I don't know who the left back can be, so let's just pretend we're focusing on the midfield. If we could get, and I don't include Tchouaméni, it's not realistic anymore. If we could get Scott and Stiller, I would probably give them a 6 average, which from this point, I think would be miraculous. I think for us to get anything higher than a 5 in this summer transfer window, with what's left in the window and what's left on the shelf, I just can't see us doing it. But if we got Stiller and Scott to go with Mainoo and Edison, you got half a chance. You got half a chance of something being exciting and developing. But even then, that's not necessarily great, is it? I still think the best option in the shop is Enmecha now. I think he's physically commanding. He's experienced. He's the right age profile. But he's too expensive. And I hate saying that, because that word should not be a factor when you're trying to rebuild a midfield, but he'll be out of our price range. Hi, Mark. Every new season, we're promised these great players and spin glazes out. But I must say some panic buys saved us sometimes from embarrassment. But I agree, we need to get what's left, says Andrew McMaster. Our Arena Nation World says, inspired by you, Mark, and we're starting podcasting. Ow, the fuck? Just cut myself on a toenail. Arena Nation World says, I'm inspired by you, Mark, and we're starting podcast soon. What's your take on United not digging up some academy players to mould into the centre midfield CDM role? Don't start podcasts if you think that's a good idea. Not if it's about football. I don't want to hear stuff like that, mate. On a serious, like, I don't want to hear stuff like that. I don't want to hear, let's dig up a young player and stick him in the midfield. I mean, that's just unfair on the young player, unfair on the fans, and another cheap, stupid way to go about it. I'm being serious. Like, good luck with your podcast, but I don't want to hear about a young player being thrown into the midfield. I mean, absolutely not. No. A young player for me should be supplementary. They shouldn't be part of the plan. The least optimistic I've ever been during a transfer window. Good luck with your podcast, though. Kelvin says, the least optimistic I've ever been during a transfer window. Owners are clowns and setting us up for a failure. We all see it, so why can't they? Says Kelvin. Well, I get asked this quite a lot, actually. Why don't you rate Berarda and Wilcox? And I say, why do you rate them? Jason Wilcox played for Blackburn, worked at Man City. He's got nothing to do with Man United. He's not a Man United fan. He is a paid employee. Omar Berarda was tweeting about anti-Man United stuff when he was at Man City in a competitive way. We've recruited him because he did well at Man City. He's not a Man United person either. we've bought two paid employees into a club that is not a club. Like, we've basically gone and supposedly got best in class, but they're not United people. They're not fans. They don't know anything about the club. They're just professionals. And I'm sorry, I just don't think that works. I think some businesses you can go, just go and get me the best, right? But we're not a business. You know, if you've ever watched Yellowstone or Dutton Ranch, these people who have these ranches that have been around for hundreds of years, they live and breathe it. Can't just go and get, this guy's really good at running things, bring him into Dutton Ranch. You've got to know about cattle. You've got to know about, you know, that the whole scene. Our biggest mistake is we brought Brada and Wilcox in. They're not United. They're not United people. They don't know. They don't get it. They just don't get it. They're just paid employees. And I think paid employees finish work at five and go and, you know, do whatever. I think you've got to have people who know the football club. We had a really good person working at the football club in Nicky Butt. Nicky Butt was the connection between the youth and the first team. Listen to some of his interviews about why he left. Basically what I just said there. There's too many people at that football club who don't get what the football club's all about. We've lost that big time. Razzler says, we've been a laughing stock, lost out with Semenyo, lost out with Anderson and Mateus Fernandez. We'll give our rivals a lot of confidence in future transfer windows. Cameron says, Scott stays with his agent, will get two payouts if he stays at Bournemouth. Yes, Cameron, you're right. If he signs a new contract, payout. If he goes again next summer, payout. If he goes this summer, one payout. You're right. If you're an agent, it's Christmas if you're getting new contracts and leaving. Definitely. Julio says, I haven't slept in 24 hours. I've got a clock into work in about an hour. Am I cooked like United transfer window? Prioritise sleep. You need to sleep. Hi, Mark. Aren't you surprised with all the noise around the Premier League proven we haven't had a look at Youri Tielemans? I think he's a fantastic player, says Shob. Tielemans is not gettable. Tielemans is a fantastic player, but he's not gettable. I mean, you knock on the door of Villa and you're walking away with £100 million price tag, whether he's worth it or not. What scares me the most is the lack of activity. What are they waiting for, says Artax. They're just waiting for Scott and Tchouaméni to sign a new contract, then sign Belaba, says Gaz. George says, hi, Mark. How are you doing? Getting enough sleep? I love your videos. Keep up the great work. Oh, I had a very good night's sleep last night. No 1 a.m. game. Anthony Tracy says, will Scott plan D cost us more than Fernandez? Thank you, George, for your message, by the way. Anthony, we will pay more for less now. If Elliot Anderson was too expensive for us at 116 million, he's probably about 15 million over price, isn't he? If Mateus Fernandez was too expensive for us, he's probably about 20 million over price. But that's your plan A and that's your plan B. Both were probably about 15, 20 million over our budget, right? But you're now going to pay 20 million over price for your plan D, E and F. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. We're going to overpay for whoever we sign. So you may as well overpay for plan A or B. We're going to overpay for plan C, D or F. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like it's not even like one of you said about Mateus Fernandez. I was saying we should just pay the 85. It is a lot of money, but it's, you know, the data says this is the player. We should pay it. And people were like, okay. But as one of you said, the principle of not overpaying only works if you walk away and get somebody else who's cheap. You can't walk away because you don't want to overpay and go for option D, but still overpay. And that's the problem here. Like, we walked away from Mateus Fernandez because we didn't want to pay £85 million for a player that was very high on our list. If we go to Alex Scott and give Bournemouth £80 million, you're basically paying the same as Mateus Fernandez for a player that you didn't really want as much. So wherever we walk now, we're going to pay more for a player that was lower down the list. Where's the balance in a Scott and Maynou midfield, says Jord. Look, I like Scott, I like Maynou, but if we buy them, it goes on to my next topic, which I want to talk about. You make a good point, Jord. Brian says, I'm super frustrated with the transfer activity and reports that United will be busy as fans. These affect our mood again and again and again. Take care. Oh, mate, the mental health toll is real. Tarwin says, can you wish my son Ravnit a happy 8th birthday in Slough? Happy birthday. Hope you have a great day. And hopefully I haven't sworn on the stream today, which is probably unlikely. But happy birthday. Have a great day. I think we're going to have a reality check next season, playing 3 games a week and miss out on Europe again. When will our owners realise they need to spend, says Muaz. But look, mate, the increase in games probably won't hurt us till Christmas. But January to May, we saw the benefit of 1 game a week. January to May this season, let's see what happens. I'm absolutely convinced we're going to have a really good start to the season. I absolutely am convinced that even if we sign nobody, we'll win a lot of games at the start of the season on the fact that we've got an easy start and, you know, everyone's in the same boat. But when it will hurt us is when our thin squad becomes stretched and everybody else's squads aren't. Should be Wharton. We need a good passer. Every successful team has one, says Daniel. If you don't understand United, at least understand football. Ranić did, but they got rid of him because he exposed their lack of football expertise and made them all look bad, says Patrick. Spot on. And imagine if Glinios would put the same effort into transfers as PR. We would be a juggernaut. Get Tchouaméni. He's worth 250 to 300k a week, plus Stiller, says Carlo. Ironically, looking like Glazer's better than Ineos, says Class of 99. And hopefully Amazon will persuade Carrick to look really angry in pre-season at the lack of signings. Channel his inner Jose, say we're finished, says Nick P. Well, watch the show last night where we get Carrick's quotes about how we're really close to being a big team and we've got a great squad. Carrick ain't doing that. Christian says, hope everyone's doing well. The best working department at United is the PR department. Maybe we should send them out to do transfers. Watch back when Amrin sacked. Scary how right you are, says Setem. There is a video on this channel. It's only 10 minutes long. It's a frosty, it might make you feel a bit cooler in the hot weather. It's called No Way Back. It was in January. It was right after Amrin got sacked. I sat in my garden in a cold and frosty January afternoon and basically predicted this. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Ta-da, it's Rabiot and Sarr, says Adichio. George says, this has been happening for the past 10 years. Nothing is going to happen that is exciting until we get people who care. Why don't our owners care? Did you see my earlier super chat? I did. I wanted to just get your thoughts on this. Now, look, the thing about me is I read a lot and I don't ever sort of just go with, oh, I'm not gonna take notice of that. There was an article that, let me just see if I can find it. Here it is. So, it was Dylan McBennett who wrote it, and he writes for Attacking Football. And he basically said, a look at the toxic spider web that is the online Man United fan base and how it's horrible atmosphere for any new signing to come into. And essentially, it's sort of like there is a section of our fan base that is never going to give a new signing a chance anyway. And they make their mind up on a player before they've even signed, and then they'll actively pursue that player before they've even signed, so that it's virtually impossible for them to succeed. I saw this with Ugarte. And look, ultimately, Ugarte's been a flop. But before Ugarte even kicked a ball, he had a nickname. And I think we all know what it was. I've seen it with Dorgu as well. People were calling him dog shit. Dorgu's ended up being a good player. Ugarte's ended up being a bad player. So these people aren't right. They might be right about Ugarte, but they're wrong about Dorgu. But what is right, because it's happening, is that we're signing players these days and certain sections of our fan base are going after them before they've even kicked a ball. Who's at fault? Manchester United. Manchester United, this is not the online community. This is not the fans' fault. A fan base is created by its club. Man City's fan base doesn't go after its players because they are spoilt by their owners. Arsenal fans don't go after the fact that they're players anymore because that they have competent owners. You can't blame Man United fans for making their minds up about players before they've even been signed. Because if we signed Yamal, then I think everybody would be very, very excited. But if you sign Edison, you end up with people going, he's 27, he's never played in the Premier League, he's cheap, this, that, and the other. So, but it's a clear and present danger, which is also another good summer watch if you want to watch it. If we end up with Scott and Santos and Edison, there are three signings there with varying levels of, I didn't want him, I didn't want him, I didn't want him. The club create this problem, but they don't acknowledge the problem. If you buy mediocre players, or if you buy divisive players, you're setting them up to fail. If we'd bought Tonali, there'd have been nobody going, well, he's a load of shit. Boo. If you bought Elliot Anderson, the same. If you bought Mateus Fernandez, the same. If you go and buy Santos, people will go, I don't want that Chelsea load of shit. And from day one, he's not popular. So I agree that there is this section of the fan base that just won't give a signing a chance. But whose fault really is it? I think it's the club's fault. But that you know, I acknowledge the article, I acknowledge the point, and I think it's a good point, because it could be something that really comes home to roost, that our football club is not a place for development and patience anymore. It can be in the future, but you can't buy prospects at United anymore. You can't. Look at Dorgu. He's done well to come out the other end, but he was being written off. Look at Ugarte. He got written off. Look at Yoro. People are writing him off. We are not a football club, no matter how much we spend on players that should be bringing in prospects or potential. The fan base is fed up of it. We want players that are ready now. And also, you can't let Casemiro go and then replace him with a prospect. I mean, who replaces one of the most experienced players in the league, who is producing man-of-the-match performances on the regular and is a leader? Who replaces him with Santos or Edison, you know? So the club are creating this. But I absolutely acknowledge it, because I think it's a problem. If we keep buying players that half the fan base don't really want, then half the fan base are going to be on their case from the start. But whose fault's that? That's a lack of ambition. If you make exciting, ambitious signings, the fan base will be excited. If you make mediocre, divisive signings, the fan base will be split. You can't blame the fans. Ultimately, fans are passionate people. You excite them and show ambition, they will be excited. You know, you don't show ambition, they won't be. So it's on the club. Somebody just said there's some Tchouaméni news. The only news I can see coming in is from MUFC MPB speaking about what we spoke about half an hour ago, that Man United like Tchouaméni, but he will stay at Real Madrid next season. I told you this last Thursday. Right, great show. Loved it. I don't put Tchouaméni as realistic now. Every time I see a story about him, I just check out. It's the placebo. It's the peach schnapps without the alcohol. If you know, you know. Great show today, everybody. Thank you so much. We're back in our normal 8 o'clock show tonight, because there is no World Cup games tonight. It's a day off from the World Cup, the first one. Brilliant show. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.